Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Seller Performance Solutions. I'm Chris McCabe of E-Commerce Chris. Today, joined by Emma Shermer-Tamir of Marketing by Emma.
I think
it's been a while. Hello.
You know, I think the last time we recorded was probably a year ago.
God. Yeah. Well,
maybe even more than that. It might have been before Seller Velocity in New York.
Oh, wow. Well, we're going to make up for lost time today because you always have pearls of wisdom. I'm always listening to your YouTube channel, typically commenting and listening. But I think you've been so busy with all the different client assistants and projects that you've got going on. I think we've mainly been communicating through my comments on your YouTube videos. I think that's what we've been reduced to at this point. But for a good reason. You've been extremely busy, and this will be an opportunity to tell us what you've been busy with, like the highlight reel.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been busy with a lot of things, but one of the things that really is taking a massive amount of my interest and time is really just staying up to date and on top of everything that's happening in the world of e-commerce, especially with AI right now, because there is just so much that's changing, and it very much feels like a chess game, except there are more than just two players with the way that, like ChatGPT, for example, they just recently announced, and actually, this is a little bit of a teaser of a video that I'm working on right now.
Perfect.
They're going to be launching native checkout, which means that in not too soon, you will be able to make a purchase directly from within the ChatGPT chat without having to go anywhere else. And so that's really going to, I think, ruffle a lot of feathers. I imagine that all of the marketplaces like Amazon and Walmart and Shopify are thinking deeply about how to respond and react to this information, because in the past, all of these marketplaces were very siloed, and you know, they were just like, this is our lane, this is the only lane that we're playing in. But because of how consumers are discovering and choosing and buying products now, I think they're all realizing that they can't be quite as definitive with those lines anymore. So that's where you see partnerships between TikTok Shop ads and Amazon and some of these cross competition partnerships, just with kind of, I think, accepting the reality of how buyer behavior is changing. And so it's really interesting to be thinking about how different e-commerce is going to be looking just a year from now, and how businesses need to be taking that information, keeping a pulse on what's happening, but also doing everything at their disposal to really make sure that they're positioning themselves to either maintain the lead that they have worked really hard to achieve, or to even use some of these changes as opportunities to really be able to get a leg up on competition that they've struggled to do otherwise.
So it's similar to what we were talking with many people about last year, TikTok Shop. People see a product related video and there's a quick, easy way to buy it after seeing the video. So what you're talking about sounds similar.
Yeah. So I believe I just saw a recent stat come out that there are roughly 2.5 billion daily searches happening within ChatGPT right now. And a significant amount of those searches have the potential to lead to some kind of transaction. Maybe somebody's not going there to look for a product, but they're coming with some other question or concern, and then the outcome is going to be ChatGPT recommending, like, oh, you're stressed and you're not sleeping well, you should consider taking magnesium. And if you want magnesium, these are the top magnesium supplements to take. Whereas right now, as we're leading up to this new update, that would give you some different external links that you could click on to research those products more or to make your purchase. And so your search might start on ChatGPT similarly to how it was originating previously on a platform like Google and then sending you elsewhere. But now that customer may never even venture beyond the borders of that chat. And so You know, it's not about trying to make sure that you're on page one of Amazon, because if you're not in those top five searches, yeah, you're not even a consideration anymore. So it's pretty monumental.
So you've been, I mean, there's lots of posts on LinkedIn and elsewhere about AI. So you've been focused on this slice of it, it sounds like.
Well, really just
and maybe others.
Yeah. How can you, because the other thing that's really challenging with this AI conversation is it's not that AI is copy and pasting your content verbatim onto the answers that it is giving to its customers. It is distilling the information that you've put out across your product listings, even the back end, and then it's sort of interpreting that as it will.
Yeah.
And so if you're really working hard to present your product in a specific way, or you have some really important call outs that are super important to making sure that a customer is the right person for your product, then you're kind of leaving it up to chance with ChatGPT, crossing your fingers that it's going to make sure to include that information. And so what I found, one of the best ways to really be able to influence that is actually by making sure that you have really strong imagery and infographics, because it is not redesigning your images. And so if you know that there's something that you absolutely need your customers to know, creating product images that reinforce that information, that present that information, because they are getting pulled into not just ChatGPT, but Perplexity or any of the other AI search tools, then it does give you one small element that you are able to maintain complete and total control of, where everything else is going to be left up to interpretation.
You're making me think about what is the timeline, because obviously Amazon dominates product search, right? And they took over the mantle from Google a couple of years ago. And now are they already looking at losing it to these other tools jumping in and competing and jousting with each other? Because it would be a natural suggestion to put something in about any type of product to have a little bubble pop up or whatever it might be a couple of years down the road that says, it looks like you're interested in blank. By the way, there's a promotion going on now for just that product.
Right.
And here it is.
Totally.
It's a pretty small step.
We see that Amazon has also been experimenting with this. It's not there. You don't see it that often in the wild, just because I'm not exactly sure how they even determine what products would fall into the eligibility of the buy for me feature, mm-hmm. which if you're watching this and you're not familiar with what that is, I think it's something that Amazon launched a few months ago back in the springtime. And it's essentially for products that are not sold on Amazon, a little search result pops up and it offers for an Amazon AI agent to essentially go purchase that item on your behalf without having to go to that website to do it. And then It's sort of contained within your Amazon account. And so that's obviously a similar type of thing where they are thinking about, you know, how can we minimize friction? How can we reduce people looking for something and then going elsewhere? I think there's also some interesting brand protection elements there if they could figure that out a little bit better. You know, like, whereas like if a product is like, if the brand isn't on the selling on Amazon, but then there are a lot of resellers or like even people, what's the word?
And registered agents,
fake,
you mean?
Fake products.
Well, there's all kinds of, I mean, some people don't want to sell themselves, be the seller on Amazon. They designate a brand registered agent. They contract with an agency.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there's some brand registry problems if they're using an agency and the agency sets it up and then they ditch the agency for a new one. There can be some pain points. But like you said, eventually they're going to figure some of this stuff out.
Yeah.
So that it will truly be seamless. And we've heard a lot about over the years about seamless online ordering and seamless experience, but maybe in the future it will actually be seamless. And like you said, something will prompt you to buy it and you don't really have to be involved in the transaction. I think there might be some risks associated with that.
Totally. Yeah.
If you're just suggesting interest in something and all of a sudden the chatbot buys it for you, then maybe you've got a problem. But
yeah, I agree. Yeah. You know, that's why companies like Shopify are also starting to put some protections in place where they don't want an agent to just be able to make a purchasing decision without a little bit more input and oversight from a human who's approving it. You know, it's like when
the human who's paying.
Right. Like I'm just imagining or like thinking back to Alexa voice ordering, like when those stories were coming out in its early days of kids accidentally ordering, you know, 100 Lego play sets.
or like a future where you come home from work and you've got 55 boxes sitting by your door.
Right.
And it's like, oh, somebody's been busy ordering on my behalf while I was away. And then you think back like, oh, you know what? It's because I went to lunch with my friend and I mentioned a bunch of things I needed to buy. Yeah, totally. Just going through my mental list and my phone overheard me and decided that, you know, my one click settings or whatever were active and ordered all the stuff. So that'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think it also like, I see this being something that probably has a more immediate impact on lower value items than, you know, the more complex, the more expensive a product. I think even people that aren't big researchers typically like to evaluate things a little bit. Like I was even a couple of weeks ago searching for a chef's knife to give my brother for a big birthday. And I mean, the world of chef knives.
And he is a chef.
No, but you know, like when you get into cooking, it's nice to have like a really like nice knife. It totally elevates the cooking experience. And so I wanted to give him a gift that he could use forever and that he would enjoy. And I had no clue just how strongly opinionated and contentious the world of chef's knives is and how, you know, like you get lost into these Reddit forums and you think that you've decided on the one you want. And then you see 10 people saying how that's, you know, terrible and like the worst decision they ever made. And so I went on to ChatGPT to see what it might recommend me and as well as Perplexity. And I didn't actually find it super helpful with evaluating the knives that I wanted until I had narrowed it down to the two that I wanted. So if I just wanted help with giving me the options of the best 5 Japanese chef's knives for a home cook, it kind of pulled in some weird and wonky options that didn't really make sense, which as an aside, spells a lot of opportunity for brands that maybe aren't as well known or wouldn't be able to get featured publications like Bon Appetit or Wirecutter.
Okay.
I don't have the budget for that kind of promotion, but it was really only once I had decided upon, I want to buy him either this brand or this brand. Here's what I'm looking for, which one would be better and why. Then it helped me. But then the links that it gave, interestingly, one of the links that it pointed me to was actually a counterfeit product.
Yep. You're already experiencing the pain points and problems. Yeah.
Exactly.
You skipped the honeymoon period and went straight to the pain and the anger.
Totally. And I'm like, you know, at first you're like, oh my gosh, I can get $150 chef knife for $70. Yeah. Like, what good fortune. Maybe I'll get myself one as well. And then you're like, no, but there's truly no way that like a hand-forged Japanese chef's knife is going to be selling for this price point. Like, absolutely not.
Well, what comes to mind when I think about your YouTube channel, since I'm such an avid fan and follower, is you spend, I mean, the videos that resonate most with me, you spend a lot of time teaching people how to present themselves to their customers. And how to change their representation if they're failing, if they're off target. So with what we just talked about, how is that either changing how you tell people to represent themselves or how are they already adapting and changing aside from what you were just saying? I mean, are they tailoring the experience differently? Are they using, I don't know what, different keywords, search terms? I mean, what are the one or two top ways that people are adapting right now?
One of the things that's actually really exciting for me is that this new AI-enabled search world is actually creating a very strong emphasis on really needing to integrate foundational marketing techniques and practices. So it's sort of exposing brands that relied exclusively on hacks, because mm-hmm. the hacks are not what's going to be what wins. The content that is going to be most easily understood and accessible for the AI is also what's going to be most compelling and clear for the customer. And so it's getting away from keyword stuffing, not ignoring keywords.
Yeah, yeah.
We are not yet in a world where nobody is using the search bar, though a lot of brands are preparing for and forecasting that is not too far into the future. But for the time being, like, keywords are still important, but it's mm-hmm. really thinking about how can you present your product in a way that is clear and easy to understand? And then how can you really carve out a distinctive brand identity and voice, and really utilizing your product imagery in particular, having a strong strategy to allow that full product image stack to tell a complete story, so that even if it's just getting pulled into one of the AI searches, mm-hmm. you know that you're at least preserving some of that brand identity and voice, even if everything else is getting regurgitated and maybe presented in a way that is not totally true to the brand that you're building by the AI. Obviously, there's a lot more that goes into all of this, and
yes.
be happy for people that want to learn more to go check out my YouTube channel, Marketing by Emma, because I've got lots of content that really goes deep into all of these different topics and what you can do as a business to really prepare and make sure that you are not just watching your traffic disappear and feeling like the world is caving in around you. It doesn't have to be that way.
That was a great prompt to wrap this up to your YouTube channel. Good job. You did my job for me. Terrific. All I had to do was sit here and listen. I love it. Yeah. We should, I think, have a part two of this conversation. I think this is good for now, but these get the juices flowing and some ideas running through my head. And I just think this is an interesting topic.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
You know, I think it is tough to unpack it all in one sitting.
Yeah, there's a lot of complexity, but you know, it's also everybody's navigating this. It's sort of level playing field. So it's not worth allowing yourself to get overwhelmed by all of this and thinking yes. it's all gone and lost. Like, if you really invest the time and effort to be digesting this material and strategizing how to implement it into your business, then you're really positioning yourself in a strong place to be able to make sure that even as these shifts are happening, that you're still showing up where your customers are and you're continuing to grow your business.
Sweet. Very concise, cogent. I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. No, of course. Thanks for joining us. People know to go to marketingbyemma.com if they want your website, your YouTube channel, of course.
Yeah. We also offer a free listening analysis. So if you'd like us to take a look at it, see if both customers and AI are going to understand and choose your product, then we'd be happy to take a look at that and help in any way that we can.
Terrific. Thanks again for joining us. Thanks everyone for listening in. We will catch you next time. I will try to get Emma back for a part two. She's extremely busy, but I think she'll make time for us if we beg appropriately.
Groveling always helps. Yes.
That's right. All right. Thanks again. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Thank you.